I'm thankful to be back with you again this morning after 2 weeks off. I hope that you had a wonderful Easter and just glad to be back together again. I just want to start, as we always have, and pray our prayer of belonging together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Father, we are here to listen and respond. Teach us what it means to be yours. We belong to you. You are the compassionate and gracious God. You overflow with love and faithfulness. You are patient, forgiving, and just. Show us your glory as we delight in your name, Yahweh. We belong to you. I open my heart to you. I surrender every desire and decision to you. Not my will, but yours be done in me. Belong to you. Thank you. Amen. Well, yesterday was Easter. Are you recovered, anyone? A little hungover from those Easter, maybe your Reese's eggs if you're like me, or Easter bunnies. I was thinking about Easter bunnies this morning because we do Easter baskets for our kids. Even though they're getting big, I used to put kind of summery things in there, sidewalk chalk, and then it was like swimsuits or goggles, whatever they needed, maybe some sandals. This year they got underwear. My 8-year-old was thrilled, let me tell you. But don't worry, there was also some snacks in there and their favorite drink, and I always put a chocolate bunny in there every year. They know to expect that. And I'm very careful when I pick out those chocolate bunnies because, as you probably know, not all of them are solid chocolate, right? You might bite into those ears and it's just nothing inside. Or even worse, it's like marshmallow or something. Ugh. It reminds me of those truffles, you know, that you'll get maybe at Valentine's Day or at Christmas time. I remember my dad loved those and would get them often from clients at Christmas time. And I loved them, but I only loved some of them, right? And so I had this habit one year. I remember I poked out the bottom of every single one, looking for the one that had the filling that I wanted, right? Because there's nothing worse than biting into something expecting delicious, pure chocolate and getting coconut or anything else, right? Well, Jennifer mentioned Dallas Willard, and in his book, Renovation of the Heart, he talks about the Shema. He talks about the goal of spiritual formation being that we become a person who can love God with all we are, heart, soul, strength. Dallas says this is a life of becoming fully integrated, fully whole, the same all the way through. Not like a hollow bunny or a truffle full of who knows what that looks like chocolate, but it's only a veneer. And today we're talking about the heart, that core of who we are on the inside, and what we want to be as people who belong to God, what He desires for us to be is the same all the way through to the core, right? And you may have noticed by now in your workbooks that the first day of each week is kind of like definition day. That's what I thought of it as I wrote, but that this is the day you get introduced to a new Hebrew word from the Shema. And since it's been a couple weeks, I want to just really quickly remind you of them. We started with hear, which is Shema, and it means more than hear, right? But to listen attentively, to understand, to allow what is heard, to provide real understanding, and then generate a response, right? And then we had a week on the Lord, on Yahweh, the personal name of God that reveals God's character as wholly good and trustworthy. It is not worth our time to talk about loving God if we can't really love Him, if He's not really lovable. So that was a really important sort of foundational week. And then this past week in your workbook, you've been looking at the heart, the lef, or the levaf, the inner person, the the executive control center, the seat of our will, desire, thought, feeling, creativity, intellect. This is such a huge word. And we learned in our homework that in Hebrew, there is no word for brain, right? That there is no separation between the mind and the heart in the way we think about it. That this, it encompasses our inner self, right? Everything about our inner person, our will, right? And this week marks this shift in our study where we started talking about what does it mean to love God. And we have to start with our heart because that's the innermost person of who we are. But I wanted to give you one more definition, and that is of love. Ahav, or ahava, is the noun version of this, and it really just means to love. It means to desire and to demonstrate our affection. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you. This is Yahweh speaking. I have loved you, ahav, with an everlasting love, ahava. Therefore, I have continued to extend faithful love to you. That's that word we learned last week, hesed, that steadfast love, that covenant love. Because God has hesed, he extends, he loves us with that kind of love. The word ahav, one of the roots meanings is to give, ahav, that love is active, it is invested in others. There's also a sense I read of in the language of ahava, like that ha ha ha, that breath. But in that word, that there's a meaning of closeness, that to love someone means that we want to be close to them, that we have access to them, that we have affection for them. And so we cannot split up love and just say it's only a choice, and we also can't split it and say it's only a feeling. It is both. Belonging to God and loving God is both a desire and a decision. Right? And we learned that our heart is the seat of both our desires and our decisions. It's our decider, remember? You may recall that in the New Testament, when Jesus quoted the Shema, he uses the word heart and mind, right? Which is different from the Old Testament, different from Deuteronomy, and that's because Greek is a different language. And so it was important that we know that this call to love God is all we are, everything about us, all our parts, and that important word there is all, that we are to be whole, that we don't want there to be division between our minds and our hearts and our bodies and our souls, that everything about us is to be integrated into someone who loves God with all we are. This week in the homework, we looked at three heart conditions that hinder us from loving God with all we are: hard hearts, disordered hearts, divided hearts. And we learned that our hearts are vital, right? Watch over your heart with all diligence. That's one of the verses we looked at, because from it flows the spring of life. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And Jesus also taught that out of what's in our heart, our life, it comes out our life, right? The good stored up in our heart, it shows up, it's revealed. Out of what's in our heart comes out our mouth and out of our actions. Our hearts are vital, they're so important. But we also learned that they are vulnerable. We are vulnerable to forgetting who we are and who God is. We're vulnerable to forgetting his love. We have to be careful. Moses in Deuteronomy says, be careful that you don't forget what you've seen. And then Jesus says, be careful, or your hearts are going to be weighted down with wasteful living, the anxieties of life. We have to be careful with our hearts. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus said. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And that word believe, it's more than just mental assent. It really means trust. It means everything about you is to trust me. We're vulnerable, vulnerable to worry, vulnerable to a lack of faith, right? Our hearts are prone to wander, prone to forget. Our hearts are precious though, right? That's one of the reasons we're supposed to be so careful with them, is because they're so important. God so values the will of mankind that he will not override our will. He's not gonna make us choose him. He's not gonna make us love him.
because our hearts are so precious, but they are also impressionable. They're impressionable. And then what is in there, the messages that are in our heart, the things we value in our heart, what we love with our heart, that's what comes out. It's like our phones, right? You search for like something one time and that's all you ever see again. Every time you pick it up, you know, you like search for that one book and all of a sudden it's like, hey, you want this book about this and you want this and you want this. It's like what we put in there is what comes out. The messages we take in. And so we have to be careful because our heart is an unreliable narrator, especially if it's been receiving messages from the world that we have not examined, right? Our hearts are unreliable narrators. I want to show you what I mean. This is a verse that is often sort of bandied about, right? Our heart is deceitful above all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And I have a beef with this verse because when I used to hear this, the way I interpreted that is that your heart is the worst and you're the worst and you're bad, right? That's what I heard. That's the way that I took this verse in. But I think what Jeremiah is really saying is our heart, it just speaks what it takes in. And so if our heart is deceived, then our heart will be deceitful. And this is a very unique word in scripture. It's only in there three times. And it in other areas, whenever else this word deceitful is used, it's actually talking about terrain. It's talking about the ground. It's talking about hilly, bumpy, slippery ground. Our heart is slippery. It's hard to understand. We have to be careful with our hearts. We see this in the book of Jeremiah, right? This pronouncement about the heart being deceitful is not out of the clear blue sky. Jeremiah, the whole book, if you read the book of Jeremiah, prepare to be very sad because it is a book about the rebellion of God's people. It is a book about Jeremiah speaking the word of the Lord again and again and again and again, and they just don't want to hear it. Jeremiah 7 says, this is what I commanded them, saying, obey, Shema, my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and you will walk in the way I command you, so it will go well for you. Yet they did not obey. They did not listen. They did not Shema or incline their ear, but they walked by their own advice and in the stubbornness of their evil hearts, and they went backward and not forward. And the chapter that verse about our hearts being deceitful, it is in chapter 17, and the first verse says this: the sin of Judah is written with an iron stylus, with a diamond point, it is engraved on the tablet of their hearts. So what we have written on our hearts is what our hearts will tell us. The sin of Judah was written with an iron stylus. We have to be careful. Our hearts are slippery. Who can understand them? They can lie to us. So we have to be wise. Our hearts have great capacity for evil, but they also have great capacity for good. And Jeremiah asks this question, who can understand it? And then immediately it is answered in verse 10. I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind. God understands. God knows what in our heart is true and where we have believed a lie. We see this over and over in Scripture that God knows our hearts. Proverbs 15:11 says that even Sheol, this verse for kind of like the, it says our hearts, I'm sorry. Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of the children of man? In Proverbs 17, it says, the crucible is for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts. Proverbs 21 says, the way of every person is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. The Lord knows our heart. He sees our heart, and he tests them. And the word test is kind of scary, right? We don't want to be tested. My kids don't look forward to tests, but this is not a test that is like God wanting us to fail, but it's a test to know, right? To expose. to diagnose in order to bring healing. The words for test in Scripture have to do with trying or proving, the way a precious metal is refined. It's heated to bring out impurities. God looks into our hearts, not to condemn, but to make them known. He already knows, but he wants us to know what's in there so he can heal us. Right down in the same chapter, Jeremiah prays, "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. You are the one I praise." So the heart is slippery. It's deceitful, right? We have to be careful. But the Lord searches our heart. He knows our heart. And he can show us what's in our heart. Our hearts are desperately sick. We cannot cure them alone. We cannot. But the Lord can heal us. He tests us so that we can be healed, right? I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't want to go to the doctor. I'm like, I know there's something wrong, but I don't want to go because I don't want to know, because I don't want to deal with it. But that's ridiculous, right? Anyone would tell you, who loves you, would tell you, you need to go find out. You need to go find out, is there something wrong? And if there is, then do something about it. That's good. But we resist it. And we resist the Lord. And so that's, I think one of the first things we need to be aware of in ourselves is that resistance to being known. And then to ask, what is that resistance to the Lord's nearness, to the Lord's testing? What, if we don't want him to show us who we are, then what do we believe about him? What kind of teacher do we think he is? What kind of great physician do we think he is that we don't trust him to test us? Right? It's one of the ways our hearts are slippery. It's one of the ways our hearts deceive us, is that they keep us from even going near, from even letting him ask us the question, from even letting him see us, right? And so in order to love Yahweh with all our hearts, we have to be willing. We have to be willing to do a few things, right? It takes willingness. I know I've said that word several times, but if this is our heart, if this is our will, then we have to be willing. We have to go to him. We have to let him see us. And we have to be willing to give up control. This is one of the biggest lies our hearts are prone to believe. That in order to be safe, in order to be happy, in order to be okay, we have to be in control. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we looked at in our homework, says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." Many of you probably have that one on a plaque on your wall, like I've had it on a chalkboard in my home before, and it just seems like wah, 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 right? So I've seen it, I've heard it, I know it, but I don't do it. I want to be in control, and we cannot love the Lord with all our heart, trust him with all our heart, and still think, I know best, I'm going to control this. But we often have a good reason for feeling this way, because if we look back on our story, it is in the times that we were out of control in some way, when we experienced pain, when our control was taken away from us, or when our autonomy was taken away from us. Because someone else abused their proximity to us or their authority over us. They took advantage of our vulnerability because we were small or because we were women. And so, in order to protect ourselves from that kind of pain again, we want to hold on to the control. And so it's an understandable lie that we believe that we cannot be safe unless we're in control. But when we believe that lie, our next step is to believe that if God wants control over us, then God must not want us to be safe. God must not want what's good for us if he wants to be in control over me, because I need to be in control over me, because if I'm not in control over me, then who knows what's going to happen, or that could happen again, right? That's what I'm talking about with our hearts being slippery. Because we'll end up protecting ourselves from the only one who really can keep us, who really does know what it takes for us to flourish, who really does offer us real life and joy and peace and healing. And we're afraid to go to him because it doesn't feel safe, but he is. And that's why it was so important for us to go through the week on Yahweh and to begin to identify, do I really believe God is good? Because that is going to affect everything about us. We end up protecting ourselves from the one who loves us the most. You know, we looked at being hard-hearted in our workbooks, but Scripture has another definition of what our hearts can be like, and it's fat hearts. Psalm 119:70 says, "Their heart is covered in fat, but I delight in your law." Now, that's the literal translation, but the idea is that it's unfeeling, that it's covered, that it's protected, right? That it's padded. We've padded ourselves out so much that no one can hurt us, but then no one can get close to us. God himself, he will not overturn our will. And so if we stiff arm him, if we pad our heart out on the inside so he won't get close, he won't get close. And so this is where we must be willing to give up control, to let the Lord circumcise our hearts and cut away the fat, the hard shell, the self-protective deception that we've let insulate ourselves, not only from pain, but his love. The word of God is like a surgical blade. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Jesus is gentle and humble in heart. We can trust him. And we can give up control. We also have to stop pretending. Hebrews 4:13, the very next verse that after the one I just read, says that nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. He already sees us. We don't need to pretend. We don't need to self-protect with the Lord. The Gospels tell us again and again that God, or that Jesus, saw into the hearts of people, that he knew their thoughts. Mark 3:5 says Jesus was grieved by the hardness of their heart. And his most reoccurring message to the Pharisees was, "You hypocrite, stop pretending. You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts." He called them whitewashed tombs. He said, "You clean the outside of the cup, but you're full of greed and self-indulgence. You are a bunny full of marshmallow." A hypocrite is not someone who tells someone to do something and then they do something else. That's not what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is someone who does the right thing. They tell someone to do the right thing, and they do the right thing too, but they do it for the wrong reason. They're hollow bunnies. Jesus quoted Isaiah and said of the Pharisees, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They look good on the outside, but they won't get close." I think it's in Psalm 138, that it says that the Lord knows the proud from afar. I think he can only know the proud from afar, because we won't let him get close. when we're pretending to be someone we're not, when we're acting like we have it together, like we have answers when we don't. Romans 12:9 says, love must be sincere. Another translation says, love must be genuine. Another says, love must be unfeigned. And yet another says, love must be without hypocrisy. We have to stop pretending and be honest. And it's a process, because I think some of us, if you're like me, you have so many layers sometimes of self-deception that you don't even realize when you're pretending. And this is a process of letting the Lord call us out, letting Jesus call it out of us and call us up, and becoming more and more real and more integrated, so that the person that we try to look like we are on the outside is who we actually are. And the things we say we believe, we actually live and trust as though those things are true. So to love the Lord with all our hearts, we have to give up control. We have to stop pretending, and we have to say yes. We have to let him get close. We have to go all in. We have to abide in the vine, right? If you read that passage in John 15, you're going to get cut. Everybody. The branches that don't bear fruit, he cuts off. And the ones that do, he prunes. So we have to say yes. Connection to him is saying yes. Yes to the testing. Yes to his no. Yes to his voice. Yes to discomfort. Yes to exposure of who we really are. Yes to being soft to him, even when it's hard. Yes, 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 yes. It's not just one time. We believe in our hearts. And we're saved, but we continue to believe by saying yes again and again, because he is trustworthy. That same passage in Hebrews that talked about the word of the Lord being a knife and that everything's laid bare, it also says just after that, since we have such a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, he is not unable to empathize with our weaknesses. He has been tempted in every way, but he did not sin. He is gentle and humble in heart. He is the same all the way through, and he's been through it. And he never protected himself from the Lord. He never pretended to be anyone other than who he was. It says he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. We can go to him boldly and receive mercy and find grace when we have to say yes to get the mercy and the grace. Saying yes is good news. It feels sometimes like bad news, but it is good news, because in our yes to him, he says yes to us, and he will give us what we need. That same passage in Jeremiah about the heart being deceptive, it has this beautiful depiction of a heart that says yes to God. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. We think we have to be in charge to get what we need to flourish, but that is not the message of Scripture. It says that it does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It never fails to bear fruit, because that tree is planted by the water. That person trusts in the Lord. We need to have a heart check. It's that time. Psalm 139, search me, God, and know my heart. Put me to the test and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any anxious way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. He loves us. If we're going to love him, we need to get close. We need to let him see us. We need to see ourselves in light of his love, in light of his truth, so that he can lead us where he wants us to go. We have to say yes to the everlasting way of becoming the same on the inside that we are on the outside. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you love us and that you see us. I thank you that our hearts are precious to you. And I realize our hearts are impressionable. All of our hearts have been written on, Lord. So we ask that you would give us new hearts, that you would write your law in our hearts, your word in our hearts, your love in our hearts, that we might be wholly yours and wholly holy. We say yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.